Okay, so I'm going to just give a little bit of overview of this event called the Virtual CSUCI Science Carnival, also known as March's STEAM Month. And notice we're including the A in STEM. We really want to embrace the arts, and any of your activities that would include that would be perfectly welcome. So what's the Virtual Science Carnival going to look like? Well, we're planning on having daily videos of hands-on STEAM activities. And so the proposal is that these will be running Monday through Friday during the month of March. They're about 20 to 23 days, weekdays during the month of March. And our Hispanic Serving Institution STEM grant, Project Promesas, is going to take 2 weeks. So we've identified 10 activities that I will talk about at the very end. And we're looking to recruit partners for 10 to 13 activity videos. I think we've right now got the quote from our partner, Lunars, for an additional 10. And it just depends upon our partners, whether we need to go back and revise that, much to Sandy's chagrin. And then one other aspect of it is that we'll have regular social media postings. The Science Carnival will be partnered with a communications class on the CSUCI campus, COM 329. And they'll be helping us build social media visibility both in the fall and in the spring semesters. So what is the ask of all of you who are the participants? We're looking to have a video from you that would be played on one of the days of the Science Carnival. And it will be that people can go in at any point during that day and view the video that you've recorded. Now, ideally, they're not going to be super, super long. We'd set a maximum of 20 minutes and think that that's pretty long. It would be much better if it was on the order of about 10 to 15 minutes. So the video is something you produce, you edit, get it to its final version, and you provide it to us. And I'll have the timeline in just a little bit. And then we're going to ask you to provide, along with the video, a list of materials that a family could purchase or that the school could purchase so the kids could run the activity at home or in the classroom. We're going to really be pushing this virtual science carnival out to schools, but at the same time to parents and families to do at home. And our hope is to leverage our partners, especially some of our national partners like the Navy. And with the Department of Education funding this, leverage a real national visibility for this March's STEAM Month. We're going to also ask you to provide, if you choose to, a STEM professional mentor interview. So this is, you know, a short little video of a STEM professional, ideally someone who is a diverse role model to encourage kids to become a STEM professional. We've already recorded a number of these, and so if you don't have one, we have plenty that we can pull from. So this is not a requirement, but if you have someone who would represent a diverse STEM professional, please feel free to tap them and have them provide a video as well. And then we're just asking you to amplify the Virtual Science Carnival through your own social media feeds, and we will do the same. We'll be tagging all of our partners on advertisements related to the Science Carnival and helping you get additional visibility. So what's the timeline looking like here? Well, tonight's the orientation meeting. This will be recorded and uploaded to a website for people who couldn't attend tonight to be able to get information. We're going to ask for a partner proposal by September 12th, midnight. This just identifies the activity that you want to run, get some information about who the contact person is for your organization. It serves as a commitment that you're willing to participate in the Science Carnival and agree to these various components that we've identified. And then we'll ask you to provide a video by midnight, November 9th. You need to film, edit, and then upload to the site that will provide a video clip. We'll talk a little bit more about what would be in that in just a little bit. We're then going to take from about October till February to build a virtual Science Carnival site. And this is actually with a consultant, Lunars, who did our sound and lighting at the Science Carnival. They're going to take the edited video clip that you create and put on a standard front end and back end to it, and then set it up so that we'll be able to launch these videos on a daily basis and have just a really nice site. And it will be available for, I think, about a month after the Science Carnival as well. And also during the window of October through March, we'll be doing advertising, recruitment of some schools to participate, a lot of social media advertising, and then we go live with the Virtual Science Carnival starting March 1st. So what I'm going to do now is transition to something that Sandy is going to help us with. We're going to see a video by a really talented blogger, amazing video producer, Diana Cowern, physics girl. She was at STEMtastic that Ventura County STEM held a couple years ago, actually now 3 years ago. And we're going to show a little video of her doing some STEM activities. And so while you're watching the video, we're going to ask you to think about, what did you see? What was kind of the order of the video? What was the sequencing of steps that they went through, Diana went through as she created the video? And then a little bit of discussion about, why do you think the video was sequenced that way? So that's your homework assignment at the end, and Sandy will facilitate a discussion of the video. So unless there are any questions at this point, I'm going to go ahead and share the video. Everybody okay to go forward?
I have a quick question, Phil.
Sure.
I know you're going to record the presentation, but will you also be providing the PowerPoint as well?
Yep, we certainly will. I think we're going to be putting this up on the Science Carnival website, which is off of the CSUCI site. But we'll push out the availability of the video to all partners, especially to all of you that indicated an interest in participating. Is that okay?
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you.
Any other questions before we start the video? Okay, well, let me share the video.
Hi, all. I'm Diana. Last week, I made a video with five of my favorite physics tricks and promised that I would share the physics of those this week, which I will deliver.
Can everybody hear that?
What you see in that video is that when you hear about these demos, they sound so simple and so easy to
yes.
set up. But that was
Thanks.
Not our experience when we tried these out for the first time. So if you only want the demos with simple directions, a link to the shorter version is in the description. So you can either try them yourself, or if you've seen them before, try them with the young people in your life. But if you want all the physics, stay tuned for this video with my friend Jabril. Here goes.
This episode is supported by Prudential.
Do you think I can balance two forks
uh-huh.
on the edge of this match, on the edge of this glass?
No.
You really?
I'm staying firm on this one.
All right.
Oh, taking some cheats, huh?
Well, that doesn't work. Again, never tried it before.
Is this like the balancing bird?
I think that's the idea.
Huh. No.
Oh!
Way.
Woo!
So, no.
Yeah.
Way.
So the forks balance because the center of mass, or the average of where all the mass is on the fork sculpture, is in a particular place. Objects topple over more easily if their center of mass is above and off center of the balance point. In our case, the forks hang down below the edge of the glass and forward a bit, so they're balanced. It's hard for an object whose center of mass is already lower than the balance point to fall over the balance point.
That was awesome. Second experiment. Pour some water onto that plate,
all right.
please. Okay, we're gonna put a match.
So.
Now cover it.
Nice. Oh, wait.
Did you see what happened?
I seen what happened. The real question is, did I comprehend what happened? That's mad. That's cool.
Okay, do you want to describe what you're seeing?
It's raising.
The water level?
Yeah.
Yeah. What else is produced when you burn a match?
We got CO2. We got heat.
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 Yeah, heat is produced.
Okay. So the heat from the flame speeds up the air molecules so they move around a lot more and the air expands. As soon as you cover the flame, there's not enough oxygen for the match to keep burning, so it goes out, and the air will immediately start to cool down, contracting as it does and taking up less space. This creates a lower pressure inside than outside the glass, which forces the water up. But that's not the whole story. When you burn wood, you produce some water vapor.
What's being converted from to make water?
wood is largely made of cellulose. Combine that with oxygen and you get CO2 and H2O. Now, once the flame goes out, the water vapor hits the sides of the glass and cools, and some will condense into liquid form. Liquid water is 1,600 times more dense than water vapor, and this contributes to the low pressure. There are other reactions taking place that can affect the volume of gas before and after, and it's possible some of the CO2 can get absorbed into the water. So overall, it's not a simple process.
I see.
Yeah.
Diana, that was crazy. But third experiment. All right.
Okay. Ta-da! They're supposed to do something else.
Oh, that one flipped.
That's pretty amazing. It's a great party trick.
My favorite party.
At this point, we added some tap water to the carbonated water to dilute the amount of dissolved carbon dioxide.
Okay, so they sink.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them sink.
Oh, yeah.
And it's coming back
there
up.
Goes another, oh, there we go. Okay.
Now, I wonder if any of them will go back down.
Oh, so we are expecting to sink again.
Oh, I gave that away. Yeah, so I think that we probably need...
No way! That is awesome. That is so awesome.
I'm really glad you think it's cool because this is like 20 minutes later. What's up?
That's really cool.
Why do you think the peanuts rise up?
To normal water, they sink.
And obviously, like, some of them are sinking right now. But then what's happening on them?
Oh. The bubbles help them float to the top, and then the bubbles eventually pop and they sink?
Yes.
Is that really what's going on?
Yes.
That's incredible.
That's exactly what's going on.
So there's carbon dioxide dissolved in sparkling water. Once you open the cap and the pressure is released, CO2 gas bubbles start forming, but they can't form everywhere. They need a nucleation site, a place like the rough surface of salted peanuts. Some champagne glasses have scratches etched in, so when the glass is clean, the scratch becomes a nucleation site for the bubbles to form, creating perfect bubble lines.
It's like essentially generating like a raft on the peanuts.
Yeah. Number four. Okay. Go ahead and light it. Ready?
Yes.
Dang it. That was interesting.
It was interesting.
No. I folded the paper towel and we're going to put a couple more matches. Wow. Wow. Whoa.
Oh, I didn't fall.
Okay. Plastic wrap did not work, but we put some olive oil around here, trying to make the seal better. Coming in hot.
It lifts.
Yeah!
It lifts. That is awesome.
So I was like, we're going to have to nix this one. What do you think is happening here, Jabril?
All right. So it's creating that suction from the process.
Yep.
Why it brings the plate along, though, because that's the closest hard surface.
It's basically what's in the way. Like,
just as with the water rising trick, the air inside ends up with a lower pressure, but the plate is blocking the opening, so it stays low. Now, the atmosphere always pushes with a constant pressure, even below a plate. So once the suction starts, the air is pushing harder upward on the plate than the air on top is pushing downward. So the plate can move up with the glass.
Number five.
All right, for this experiment, I'm going to put a stake through a balloon.
You're gonna pop a balloon.
You think it'll pop?
It's gonna pop. Ah, even if it doesn't pop, I still feel like... Wow.
How do you feel about that, Jabril?
Indifferent.
Indifferent?
I feel very indifferent.
What? I just poked a stake through this balloon. Do you think I could put it all the way through?
No.
I've never done this before.
Are you serious?
Done this before.
For first try, I'm very impressed.
I know! Check that out.
I'm very impressed.
You want to try?
Okay.
Jabril, it's all you.
All right, any tips?
Yeah, this tip.
Diana, it didn't work.
Oh, so you're putting it through the bottom, huh?
I am.
Yeah, why?
I believe that you went for the thicker part.
Okay, so this little nubbin, the tip of the balloon, is a bit thicker, like the rubber's a bit thicker. So it's less likely to break and then become like a catastrophic rupture. And then over here, you've got all this rubber coming together and so it doesn't get stretched as much.
Mm.
So therefore, it ends up being thicker despite the fact that this part is not made of thicker rubber.
Right, right.
You can stake a balloon without popping it.
Or with popping it.
Thanks for helping me with all these experiments, Jabril.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for blowing my mind. I know how to be the cool guy at parties now. Thank you guys for watching, and as always, happy physicsing.
Hey, last thing, Jabril has a cool channel called Seft Science. The link is in the description, so you can check that out.
All right. So now it's Sandy's turn. Remember your questions? Or should I put them up again?
I think putting them up might be helpful.
All right, here we go.
You can tell you guys are all great students because everyone is writing things down. It's pretty impressive. Okay, so I did this with my outreach assistants who are also going to be partnering with us and doing videos as well. So they'll be your counterparts. So not to say that you guys are in competition with them, but I'm just kidding. Okay, so what did we see in all of those videos? It's really nice to see one after the other. We actually watched a few others as well that were not Diana's, just to kind of get a sense for how these STEM videos are done. So what did you see? And let's talk about the order of the video.
So Sandy, for my part, the first thing that came across is both of them were very relatable. You know, they were very casual, they had really approachable style. But in all of them, what I liked is they were just using basic household items. It wasn't anything crazy, some exotic multimeter or anything like that. It's just common items that most folks would have in their homes. And the one that stuck with me, the one question was, and I think it was Dana, was constantly asking, what do you think is happening? So she was trying to get, you know, the participants, in our case, I guess students, to kind of think about, you know, intuitively what's going on, and then she would go into detail with all the science behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. What else did you guys notice about the sequencing of the video? So she did ask a lot of questions, and she did lead with that. Anything else about the sequencing of the videos that folks want to comment on?
I love the fact that she showed things when it didn't quite work out the way she thought, which is also makes it very relatable. And I think we all have this perception of scientists that they do no wrong. But in her case, she made mistakes and she rolled with it and she adapted, which I think is a great skill to teach everyone.
Yeah, she didn't just veto that out, right? She didn't delete it out. She included that in her videos. I think she was very methodical about it. I think she really thought about exactly what you're saying, that people need to see this. A lot of science is making mistakes and learning from them. Anything else about the sequence of the videos?
Yeah, I noticed that she always did the experiment first and then explained the science behind it. So she gave, I can't remember his name, But she gave him the opportunity to see the science experiment, to see what was happening, to wonder about what was happening, to get excited about what was happening. She did things that were maybe a little surprising to get the student to wonder, her friend to wonder. And then when curiosity was piqued, then she came in and explained the science behind what was happening.
Yeah, exactly. So we, so the OAs have come up with sort of a elements of what she has in the sequencing and what we've seen in high quality STEM videos. And it basically goes introduction, activity name, supplies, which I don't know that she does, but others have done. We have included safety because we're gonna have kids doing that. So like just a basic safety talk. And then we lead, just like you're saying, we lead with a focus question of like, so for example, for Ublick, we did, based on how this look, if I were to, you know, hit my hand against it, would it go through or wouldn't it go through? Just looking at this and without even explaining to them what it is. And it just really grabs their attention and starts getting their brain thinking. And Diana does a good job because she has a friend next to her, sort of mimicking the audience. And then we have the demonstration of the activity, just like you're saying. And then the most important critical part is that breakdown of the STEM activity, like what's the science behind it, what's happening, because we have seen science videos or STEM videos that don't include that. And, you know, that's really not high quality STEM at that point. And then what I love that she does is she also brings in this real world connection this deeper thinking towards the end, where she talks about like wine and bubbles and or champagne glasses and bubbles, and you know, something that probably kids can't relate to, but all of us adults during COVID certainly can. So she does a really great job of how she breaks it down, and I think you guys all nailed it, where that sequencing really helps and showing the mistakes really help. Phil, I don't know if you can go to the next slide if we want to talk a little bit deeper. Do you want to take this or? Okay. Bill, I don't know if you want to take this or do you want me to?
I guess I was supposed to unmute myself. It would help if I had done so. So sorry about that. Yeah, so I really liked that activity that Sandy had the students do, and I'd encourage you to think about looking at some videos yourselves and modeling. You might even have the two people interacting in a similar way that built a really nice kind of human element to the video. So I guess some of the characteristics of the video, in addition to what Sandy talked about, the sequencing that the OAs, the outreach assistants, worked out, we'd encourage you to start off with an introduction of yourself and the institutional organization that you represent. And so, for example, Dr. Flores, you know, being able to talk about what NAVC does, so kids will understand a context of who you are and who you work for. We definitely want there to be a hands-on STEAM activity, and it's really important that it's hands-on. We don't want this to be purely a demonstration. We want it to be something that the kids can do at their home or in their classroom setting. And since the Science Carnival is geared for preschool to grade 8, we'd like it to really be focused on that grade level, not high school or college. You know, and ideally, the activity is something that you can do with easily obtained materials, things that might be in the house already, or things that could be purchased at the dollar store or grocery store. So keep that in mind as well. It involves having to have a nuclear reactor and uranium 238, you know, probably not something that they can do at home. That wasn't a plug against anything physics related, Greg. Clearly, we need to have, if it's relevant, a discussion about safety. And then a great appropriate STEM content knowledge. I really liked how Diana was able to pull in some video editing. So some bubbles and things like that. I don't know how easy that is to do that kind of editing. That's above my pay grade and social media knowledge. And then if you can, try to have a connection between what you're doing and real world phenomena. And that would be an ideal component. That was, as Sandy pointed out, with the champagne bubbles. And then I'd encourage you to think about questions at the end that might form a context for what the kids could do next. So maybe another question that they could pursue. You know, with the Oobleck as an example, one of the things my kid forced me to do when they were really young is they made concoctions. And I wish now in hindsight we had done investigations related to Oobleck and kind of ask some questions about, you know, I wonder if we add more cornstarch, what will happen? Or wonder if we add water, what will happen? So the idea of being able to continue the investigation, I think, is really powerful. And then, let's see. These are the Project Promesis activities that we have reserved that our outreach assistants will be performing. So, you know, these are ones that are already claimed, but there are a lot of other STEM activities, STEAM activities out there. If you want a source of some activities, there is the Science Carnival activity website. There's a link to it off of our Science Carnival website, and I'll push that out later on. there are a lot of resources. You're very resourceful. I'm sure you'll find numerous examples of hands-on science activities that you know about or that you've seen on the internet. So that's kind of like the general features of this. And I want to thank you for participating tonight. We'll have some time for questions. This QR code and the link are to a Qualtrics survey that allows you to submit kind of a description of what your science activity is going to be, just so we have an idea that we're not having overlapping activities from different partners. And so that'll be something we hope you'll fill out by the September 12th deadline.
Phil, can you throw that link in the chat?
I'd be glad to.
Thanks.
All right, any questions for me?
Phil, if we can go back a little bit to the mentor interview, like that idea, I've got an awful lot of people that I have in mind that I want to tap into. So first question is duration of the video, and second question, so we don't reinvent the wheel, do you have maybe a script that we can follow or maybe a set of questions, or is it a little bit more open for us?
Yeah, I located some materials that we used when we first started what was called the STEM-Inspired Stories Project. And there were a number of interview questions that were there. I'm happy to push that out. I'll have to see what other materials I've got. Sandy might be resourceful and have some other ideas. Not to put more work on you, Sandy, but if you're aware of something. And we'll put that together and push that out. Some of our STEM-inspired videos and some of our audio recordings were almost 30 minutes in length. I'd say that's, burdensome. I think probably a similar length video to what your activity is probably appropriate. And so that's great, Ramon. Dr. Flores is one of the interviewees, and his story is really quite powerful. I'll push out where it's located so you can even peruse our STEM-inspired stories in case there's someone you want to adopt from our website. Other questions?
Phil, one other question, going back to the activity now. The one that I'm thinking of doing is that buoy that you and I talked about, and it involves some construction. I've done this something like this similar with the sea perch. It can be a little boring sometimes. So are we allowed to do like some time phasing kind of?
Oh yeah.
And then skip, cutting, and assembling, and then come back to discussion?
I'd say so. I think that'd be great, especially if there's kind of a pattern that goes along and saying, okay, 30 minutes later, kind of for how long it takes for that part. Yeah, with cooking shows, they often have the completed item, in the oven ready to out after you get to a certain point. And I'm not expecting that, but I think that would be perfectly appropriate. And unfortunately, we don't have the budget to help you with the editing of your videos. So if you need advice, happy to give you some advice, but we don't actually have budget to help you with cutting down your videos to an appropriate length and cutting out sections. Does that answer your question, Ramon?
Yeah, definitely, because what I'm thinking is we have our own public affairs office. I'm being a little selfish right now, and they do quite a bit of video editing, and they have some tremendous capabilities.
I love that. And what's great about that is they're going to want to see that the fruits of their labor, and they'll be pushing it out and amplifying, and that will just increase the visibility of the Science Carnival through all of your NAVC and the Navy. So yeah, fantastic, Ramon. Other questions?
Yeah, Phil, Michael here. So I'm curious if there are particular topics that usually get overlooked or they don't get highlighted and get their kind of just, celebration, like, math. For example, I don't typically see a lot of using our math. So do you have recommendations around some of those topics that sometimes get overlooked?
I think engineering is often overlooked. I think that math definitely is. I think physics and chemistry and biology typically get a lot of visibility. you know, the activity list that we've got up there, probably really a lot of physics, chemistry. I don't think there was even a single biology one that we had picked for our STEM group. And so I had suggested to Tyrina a possibility of, there was an activity, what was it called? Which beak? You don't have to do it, but there's a which beak activity, and kids can play around with, you know, picking up food and what does your beak look like?
Yeah, we're going to do it. We'll do it for you.
Awesome. So there's a biology example. But yeah, if you want to pick math, it's one of the areas that I've struggled with the science carnival is to get enough math-related content at the science carnival. Typically, the math club runs a math fun booth. And then I've had early childhood have a math zone, but the faculty member who ran that whole zone has now left the campus, was a lecturer for us. And so we've lost that portion of even the science carnival. So if you can find something there, I think that would be really nice, Michael.
If I can just make a comment, you know, one interesting conversation I had with somebody around math in particular and finding something interesting to get kids more interested in math as a topic actually came, funny enough, came from an insurance person. And they suggested, they wanted to contribute. I have a nonprofit on science outreach, and they had wanted to contribute to the nonprofit by doing a science video on valuation and how important math is in the insurance industry. And it was so fascinating to me because it never even crossed my mind and never even thought about it. But it was, sorry, I'll put my camera on, but it was just something that was interesting to me. So I'd be happy to reach out to them and see if they might want to contribute to this event. But, you know, I will fully admit that it's not STEAM per se, because it's obviously a very different industry.
Oh, thanks. Do you want to introduce yourself, Christina? Because you're a new partner. You haven't been at the Science Carnival, but you heard about us through Moore Park College and Dr. Steve Joyner up there.
That's right. Yes, I did. So my name's Christina Lopez, and I live in Newbury Park. And I founded an organization called STEMS Grow. I founded it in 2017, and it was really just a small little organization that I developed in order to provide science outreach to K-5 students. And then late last year, it became a nonprofit organization. So we're looking to branch out. And then, you know, a lot of our outreach has been done on site, but of course with the COVID situation, we've developed more of an online outreach platform as well. So certainly not to compete with anything that you guys are doing. I think what you're doing is phenomenal. I just think that maybe there might be an opportunity to supplement.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many partners are like 100% committed at this point. I've reached out to a number of the typical Science Carnival partners to see if they're interested. And you know, I'm hoping we will fill all 10 days. And then it's just a question of whether we'll expand to the additional 3 days in the month. I am way too expansionist and it drives Sandy crazy. I'd be happy if we had weekends covered too, but that's a heavy lift of all of our getting that many partners together. I didn't say that, Sandy.
Well, you're welcome to take any of the content off my website and use that directly if you'd like. There is some content up there now, but then I'm happy to provide some new things as well. And to your point from earlier with regards to video editing, I've been using iMovie, which is actually a free app that you get, you know, on the iPhone and if you have a Mac-based computer or something. But I've done a lot of video editing on there, and it's a pretty powerful little program for being quote unquote free, you know, built into Apple products. But it's, I mean, you can do quite a bit with it. So I'd be happy to help anybody who was interested in, you know, using that platform and wanting to better understand it.
That's great. Other questions for us? Okay. Well, if there aren't any other questions, I'll let you have the rest of your evening. Thank you for joining the webinar tonight, and really grateful that you have an interest in potentially participating in March's STEAM Month, the Virtual Science Carnival. I think it's going to be a really fun event, and I hope we can get some real big national visibility for the event through a number of different outlets. And that will benefit all of you, too, to have that kind of amplification for your efforts, as it will us. So,
Phil, just real quickly before we go, KidStream was just introduced to a world-renowned magician named Jason Latimer, who is actually a physicist.
We know him well. He's amazing.
Yeah, I'd love to see if maybe Jason could do something really cool for us as well.
Well, Sandy's a good friend of Jason. She's got an inside edge there.
I've known him since we were 11. If you want, I can reach out to him. He just sent me a message on Facebook, if you want. I know that he's filming something right now.
Yeah, he's doing something with Sony, which is a bunch of outreach stuff. So anyway, if you guys know him, that's great. I just wanted to make mention of it.
Oh, that's awesome. If you want, I'm happy too, Phil. We can talk offline.
Hey, he lives in Agora, right? Just drive down the street and say hi to him.
He's in Calabasas.
Calabasas, close. Yeah, he's a great guy. We had him to the very first STEMtastic event. Physics Girl was second, and then the Dancing Scientist was third, and then COVID. So anyway, any other questions, comments before we go? Great. Well, look, I'll send out an email with a link to where all of this content is and additional resources. Thank you again for your interest and willingness to participate in this event.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night, bye. Stay safe.
All right. Bye-bye.
Phil, can I ask you a quick question?